and welcome to Sisters in a City with me, Anna Vakili.
And me, Mandy Vakili.
Before we start this episode, there's a lot of new people listening in.
So many newcomers.
So I just wanted to quickly let you all know that we do the regular episodes every Tuesday. We let them out. But we also have a Patreon platform. So if you want to be a bestie, you can join Patreon and you get a whole extra episode every Thursday.
A whole extra episode. Also, just another one of these.
Yeah. And also all the regular episodes, you can listen to them and watch them without ads.
Ad free, baby. Yeah. Ads be annoying.
Also on Patreon, we've got a group chat, which is like a beauty, makeup, all this kind of thing, advice. So everyone just gives each other advice. And we've got another group chat.
Everyone's become like best friends in there.
I know.
Like, they be talking in there all the time. Like, all the time. Looking out for each other.
I love it though. They like support each other. It's really nice.
Thank you.
But yeah, guys, we're back. I feel like I've been back after ages because yeah. I'm 1 week post-op. So look, there's my surgery bra.
Anna's soldering it right now, yeah?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Like, she just had surgery a week ago. Like, she must feel fucked. If it was me, I wouldn't be here. I'm calling sick. I'm like, sorry, I've called in sick. Have we ever called in sick before?
Yeah, we have. Before Patreon.
I think it was me once. Because of me, we called in sick.
Yeah. We could still technically call in sick.
Like, you guys would just get so angry, wouldn't
but
you?
Yeah. Anyway, well, obviously I had surgery. So I thought I'll just quickly tell you guys, it's all gone well. As you can tell, I'm here. Like, I'm not...
She's alive.
I'm here. And my boobies are very, 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 very swollen. But from what I can see, they look good.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have asked who I went to. I went to Dr. Serkan Balta in Istanbul. I've got a whole vlog that I filmed while I was there. And I'm answering loads of questions on there. So it goes into more detail. But I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. I think I finally got my dream boobs, which is crazy. Yeah. Touch wood.
I'm super jealous. Like, I really want to go, but Anna's like, just wait, be patient, see how mine look.
Yeah, just see how mine turn out. But so far, so good. Like, I couldn't be happier.
Oh, I'm really happy for you.
But yeah, so I went to Istanbul with Kauslik, for whoever doesn't know. And yeah, he was the supportive boyfriend. Aww, so cute.
You're so lucky, you know, because like Kauslik is that kind of guy that would be like really caretaking and, you know, nurturing.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the nightmare I would have had if I went with Gingerbit.
Really?
Yeah, like Gingerbit, I'd come out of surgery, like in that horrific pain, bleeding, like, and then Gingerbit would be on the phone making like business calls and I'd be like, he'd be like, stop over-exaggerating.
Do you think? No, I think he wouldn't be like that. I think he'd be proper caring, Mandy.
I don't think he'd know
when
what
you're
to do.
In that position, you've got to be right.
Yeah, I'd rather take you though.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. Like that trip, I just saw him not that I didn't see him in that light before, but I feel like I was talking to him while I was there. I feel like we became so much closer in that trip. Because going through things together makes you closer.
100%.
And you know what's a weird thing is like, I always used to say, you know, don't let your boyfriend see you in certain situations and conditions. Yeah, because like, for example, don't they say you shouldn't let your man see you when you give birth?
That's different. That's a human coming out of the vagina.
Okay, but even this, I used to think that I wouldn't want my guy to see me when I've just got out of surgery or I'm really in a bad state. I don't want him to take... I don't want him to see me in like that condition.
I think I know what you're saying, but not at this stage of the relationship. Like, yeah maybe at the beginning.
You know what? Because obviously, guys, we went in there. Firstly, the first night was so cute because I was so anxious. We literally slept in a single hospital bed. We were literally like this in
That's
a single
so cute.
Hospital bed.
It's like The Notebook when they die.
Yeah. It was so cute. I can't. And then anyway, after I got out of surgery, he was just so like there for me, like changing my clothes, literally like at every need, like everything I needed, he was there changing my clothes all the time, bringing me food. And then when it got to like, I think it was day three or something, I could take a shower. He washed me in the shower. We were in the shower and he literally like, I swear to God, he was washing me so gently, washed my hair.
He's so cute.
So cute. So and like, at one point he was trying to wash my bum crack. I was like, stop it.
You're
going too far.
You're going way too far now.
But
ain't no old woman out here.
Yeah, but to be fair, I couldn't move my arms back.
Might get to that stage one day when you're old where you might have to actually wash your ass crack.
But it was just so adorable. Because you know what? It did remind me a lot. Like, basically, one of my... I don't know if you know, the psychopath ex-boyfriend that ghosted me. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the things that I think were what the reasons we broke up, I believe, was I went for a BBL and yeah. I was very swollen and I looked horrific. I was like bruised up. And I remember he once changed me out of my compression garment. And like, I don't know, I washed it. And I remember a memory. And it was one of my last memories with him.
He must be thinking, this girl's come back battered. Yeah. Like, I do not want to have sex with this woman.
Yeah, I was swollen and bruised up and stuff. And like, anyway, I just remember that being one of my last memories. And I feel like I could just feel the energy that I put him off. You know?
Oh, if you're going to put a guy off over getting a BBL, like, he should be out here paying for BBLs.
Yeah.
Getting you the best BBL possible. Flying you out to Brazil and shit. And he's getting cut off.
I know. I was just maybe like a little bit paranoid. I was like, maybe I'm just being paranoid that he's been put off. But literally within a few
weeks... Energy speaks loud.
I know it does, right? I think it does. And then within a few weeks, we broke up. And then years later, when I got out of Love Island, yeah. I got a message from his new girl's friend saying he was talking about how one of the reasons why he broke up with me is because I put on weight and I went for a BBL and
you
stuff
have to
like that.
Put on weight for the BBL. All these BBLs are such a mistake. Anna literally lost a man over it. Like, don't get surgery, guys. It's like such a mistake. Like, he didn't even want a big batty.
Good riddance, man.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him. But you know what? I was thinking, because that was also something that always played on my head. So I was thinking, you know, if Cal's, like, when he sees me in this condition, like with my boobs all bruised and
so past that, though.
And swollen, like, you didn't know what my boobs looked like when he was showering me. Like,
I know.
It looked horrific, yeah?
I've had like three boob jobs.
Yeah, but I don't know, maybe because this is my third one, I'm getting so much reconstruction and getting it fixed.
Yeah.
It was the worst, like, in terms of what it looked like straight after. And I thought, it might put him off. And then I thought to myself, you know what? These things are good tests, because if it puts a guy off, then at
fuck
least...
that guy. That's
exactly.
Not true love.
So it's a good test. It's good to go through these things with your partner, because then you know where we're
going.
I know
what you're saying. I'm fully at that stage of my life, like, where I know nothing's going to put him off.
Yeah.
Like, I literally are spreading my legs and, like, I'm making him zoom into my scars and, like, I take my other week, yeah? I was like, look at my scars, and I take off my top and I stand in front of him topless, and not in the sexy way. We're not having sex. I'm just standing topless, pointing out all my scars. Like,
okay, I wouldn't go that far.
But yeah, that's
I wouldn't
what
go
I mean.
That far, because you know why? You shouldn't still try and act confident in front of
this
your
This is
partner.
Not me trying to, like, be like, oh my God, I'm so bad. This is me trying to be like, you know, you should pay for more stuff and like get me like my scar removal treatments or maybe a new boob job. Oh God. Anyway, but, it's good that you did that.
Yeah, no, I was talking to him and I was like, after this trip, I feel like not only are we closer, but I'm going to stop having this battle in my head. Like, is he the one? Is he not the one? Because I constantly battled that before, but yeah. I feel like after that trip, I just feel like he's the one.
Looks like I need a trick. I need a surgery trip because I'm still battling.
I just felt so...
like, he's the one.
...comfortable and, like, so amazing.
He's your person!
My person. I felt safe and he was just, honestly, amazing. I have to give him credit when it's due. Like, he was so amazing during that whole time that it just makes me so emotional. And
when's the wedding? When's the wedding?
Yeah, so what amazing man.
Aww.
He is. So yeah, anyway, guys, healing. The swelling's already gone down so much now and it's looking great. And yeah, there's not much else to say about that. I'm going to go into, like I said, detail about the surgery on my vlog.
Yes.
So yeah. Other than
that... literally, our last episode, you were going to go for a boob job and now you've had your boob job.
Yeah.
That's a madness.
I know, right?
Well, if you don't know, I've passed my driving.
She's passed her driving.
Nothing exciting happened to me in my life apart from that.
That's so exciting.
I know, but it's not like, you know, going and having your boobs reconstructed and finding out your man's the one. It's not as exciting. Like, mine was like, I passed. At the age of 32, I passed my driving.
Oh my God, like, you passed your driving and I was so happy and I was so excited for you. And then...
I know.
Kalsik was like, don't you think you're all like being really over the top that she passed her driving?
Oh my God, it was a madness. Like,
my mom was crying.
It was like I won the lottery.
Yeah.
I've never been, probably the happiest day of my life, yeah? I mean, thank God I didn't come with you to like look after you on your surgery because I wouldn't have my license right now. And plus, you wouldn't have found out that Kalsik's the one.
Stop taking it.
I'm joking. So anyway, the morning of my driving test, yeah, I'm panicking, I'm stressing, I'm sweating, and I made myself boiled eggs and avocado, like Eddie Abu style, because he says like don't eat bread in the morning. So I've been doing that for a while. I think it's working. Anyway, then I forget to turn the gas off. So I've had my eggs, so the gas is still on, and now I'm rushing, making a coffee, and I've put my lovely black mango coat on the stove.
Who puts anything on the stove? Even if the stove's off.
That's what Gingerbread says.
Like, even if the stove's off, like, who puts anything on a stove?
This is the funniest thing. You know what you sound like? You sound identical to him. Next thing you know, man's having a coffee. Then I smell a burning. There's a burning smell. I turn to my left. My entire mango coat is on fire. There's a fire. Oh my God, mate, I fucking died, yeah? I'm like, Gingerbread!
Oh my God, and then?
Like screaming.
I don't even know what to do with a fire.
There was like a big part of my coat that wasn't like on the stove. It's such a big coat, yeah? So I just like lifted that part of the coat and like started slamming it on the part fire. Of the coat that was on fire. And I'm like, Gingerbread! And like Gingerbread runs upstairs like butt naked, yeah, because I was about to get in the shower and it's like smoke and I've just about to put out the fire.
Oh my God. I'd panic so much in that situation. You know what I'm like? I start screaming and running around the house.
Oh my God, my driving instructor's outside. I'm literally just going to my test.
What a way to start.
What a way to start. This whole house smoke. And like, Ginger was like, who puts anything on the stove? I've never seen anyone put anything on the stove ever in my life. Like he goes, there's this massive table here. There's this big counter here. There's all this space.
Why did you do that?
I was like, you know, I'm not with it yet. Before exams, I've forgotten what I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm so bad before exams.
Yeah. Because you know, if you put water sometimes on fire, it gets worse.
Yeah.
So I just never know what I need to learn.
I mean, I probably would have just put water if that slamming thing didn't work.
You put
suffocating
water on a big fire, sometimes it gets worse, no? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know as well. I don't fucking know.
Anyway.
I always think about fires though. I'm really scared of them. Like, what would I do in a fire?
Me too. I'm always scared of them.
You're on the ground floor. What the fuck are you thinking about? Walk out your house.
True.
I always think, what would I do?
I'm scared of fires in general.
I've already planned what I'd do anyway. I'd put my dog in a pillowcase, wrap them in a duvet, and then like throw them down. I put them in a pillowcase.
Right.
And then I'd roll them in a duvet.
Okay.
And I'd throw them down. Because there's only one floor. No, it's only outside the window because there's only one floor.
Okay.
Like if I jumped that floor, I'd probably just break my legs.
Oh, I see what you mean. Roll them out the window.
Yeah. But like, because it's only one floor.
Yeah.
They'd be fine in that duvet. It's not like fucking like 10 floors. Because you always have to think, like, what would you do with your dogs?
Have you planned your whole thing?
I've planned it, yeah. Because I'm so scared of fires. One of my biggest fears. Oh.
Wow.
How did we get onto this fire thing?
You burnt your jacket.
Yeah, because I burnt, yeah. Anyway, I went to my test and I passed. And I was like, excited, over the moon, crying. My mom was crying. And then I became a devil immediately after.
Why?
Because I'm like, why don't I have a car? Anyway, that's my little mini catch up of what's happened in my life. Finally, at the age of 32, got a license.
Yeah, the fact that you guys were crying though is a bit over the top. No,
I don't know what it is because
you're acting like you've got your degree.
I've
like
suddenly become an adult now.
You're 32.
Yeah, and a plumber came round and he was like, "How old are you, by the way?" Because I was going on about getting my license, and then he was like, "You're 32 and you just got it." It was really embarrassing. And I was like, listen, I lived in West London my whole life. Like, I didn't need one.
And also, because I had a car, you didn't feel like you needed
to. Yeah, and even when you had a license, you weren't using a car because we were like 5 minutes from Acton Town Station. And before that, we lived in Notting Hill. Like, who has a car in the West End?
Yeah, but then before Notting Hill, that's when
At that point, I was young. Because that's like, before Acton times and then before Notting Hill... it was when you just came out of Love Island.
That's not that young, Mandy.
Yeah, it's true. It's not that young.
I was 29 years old.
But it wouldn't have been... Really?
Don't make excuses for your lazy, lazy behaviour.
Maybe.
That you didn't get your licence sooner.
I didn't even try, though. Like, I didn't even try. If I tried, then okay, I didn't even try. I didn't even try. I did my fucking theory pass first time. Did my test pass first time. That's me trying for the first time.
Yeah, but anyway, I know the reason why you didn't do it is because I had a license and I had a car all during our like uni years.
Life, yeah.
So you never felt like you needed one, which is fair enough.
I was just using it, basically.
Yeah. Anyway. And now you've got a lot of to repay now, a lot of driving to repay.
Oh, God.
Me.
You always start being your fucking chauffeur.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, guys, today's episode, we thought it'd be fun to do like craziest superstitions. I don't know about craziest, but they're superstitions anyway.
Anna.
Superstitions that I got people to send in on Instagram.
I was going to say, like, do you have any weird things that you do? Like, do you have any, like, weird superstitious things that you do? Because I do.
No. Apart from just, like, touch wood, which I think most people do.
Everyone does. Like, I do this thing sometimes, though. Like, if I say something like that, something might bad might happen, and then I'll go like, oh my God, if you're watching this, you can see what I'm doing. But I do this like 3 times.
Okay. Isn't that a religious thing?
No, not the cross. I do this thing.
Why?
I don't know. I got it from our Afghan friend who is like our bestest friend.
Mm.
And she done it when we were really young and I was just stuck with me.
No way.
And it's like, oh my God forbid, God forbid.
I just always thought you did like the Christian thing.
She also got another thing to me. When your feet hit someone's foot and you have to shake hands, it means you're going to have a fight. These are weird things that like...
There's so many superstitions, guys. Like when I was reading through them, I was like, what the hell? There's so many that... I can't even tell you.
Go through them. No. Also, I can't walk on those things. You know, when it's free pieces on the pavement and there's free things.
Mm-hmm. There's so many. Like, I can't even tell you how many superstitions there are.
You're one of your ex-boyfriends got me into that. Ruined my life since he said that. And now I'm jumping all over the pavement since he told me that.
I don't know. I don't really believe in all these superstitions, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you?
I've got OCD, so.
A little bit. Like, I believe in the evil eye.
Yeah.
Like, I really believe in the evil eye. So it's weird. Maybe I am superstitious because I believe in the evil eye. Like, I do touch wood.
Yeah, but evil eye superstition is a massive part of, like, Persian culture.
Yeah.
It's like, they're very fixated on it. All of their sort of, like, superstitious rituals are to do with the evil eye.
Yeah. I mean, guys, there was a guy that was basically ruining my life. He was basically stalking me, doing horrible, like, online pages, hate pages on me. I went through a really horrible stage. I don't know if I've spoken about it, but I will talk about it in detail in a future episode. But it became a few months that he was just terrorizing me. And
it
my
was cyber stalking.
He was cyber stalking me. No, he was stalking in real life because he knew where I was and then putting it like message. It was just horrible. And then at one point, my mom was like, you know what? We need to just write his name on a piece of paper, put a cross through it and put it in the freezer. And
we were like, what?
We were like, what the hell? And when I did it, I swear to God, he disappeared.
No, like from the moment she did it, he disappeared. It wasn't like days after, weeks after. It was like the next day, there was no sign.
Could just be a coincidence, but...
But then I did it. I had this ex-boyfriend as well, the bold one,
mm-hmm.
who was like from abroad.
Yeah.
And he was like threatening me like all the time, like emailing me abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So we put his name in the freezer. You have to write it in every language that you know. And then you write his name in every language that you know. Then you do a cross for it, each one. Then you fold it up and you put it in the freezer. My God, he disappeared.
Did he?
He fucking vanished. And then we did it again with your ex-boyfriend.
The thing is, I don't know, because that was an old freezer. They're gone. The freezer's gone. The names have disappeared. I want a whole new freezer, obviously, in Kalzik's house. And I don't think he'd be very happy going through his freezer and seeing all these guys' names like... What's going on?
Do you think they're still in the freezer? Like whatever freezer they're in? I don't know.
Imagine I go through the freezer and I see like girls' names like Sarah, Abby. I'll be like, what the...
Yeah.
Excuse me? The fuck?
I mean, it's not that bad though because he's trying to get rid of them. Do you know what I mean? They're like widows.
Still, I don't want to be going into my freezer trying to go get like a pizza and then I see girls' names.
Yeah, there's a bitch in the freezer.
It's going to put me off my food.
Yeah. But anyway, apparently that works.
Yeah.
So you should try that. And we've tried it like a few times. We've done it 3 times, Anna, yeah?
Yeah.
That first person, then we've done it to my ex-boyfriend, then we've done it to your other ex-boyfriend who was like upsetting me. And all 3 of them disappeared.
Yeah.
So what if you want them back? Then what would you do? Guys, their name out of the freezer?
Yeah, if you want them back, I don't know what you'd have to do.
That's too late.
Yeah. So anyway, I've got here one someone sent in. If you walk over someone's legs, they stop growing. And by someone, probably mean a child because an adult doesn't grow. This is like a Russian and Jewish superstition. Yeah, because I kind of went and like done a bit of research on each one and I was like, oh, where did this come from? And
if only someone stepped over my legs a few times, maybe I wouldn't have been so fucking tall.
Yeah.
I mean, I like being tall, yeah, but it'd be hard finding the right man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The love life, it just gets even harder.
It's, yeah, the pool of men that we have to pick from is even smaller.
We're already looking for someone successful, you know, good-sized penis, kind, loyal, good-looking. And then now, you have to has to be like
six foot and above.
Like, it's hard life. That's why we're not leaving our... I'm not leaving in a bit. Because it's like, where am I going to find that?
It's true.
This is a wild superstition.
It is a wild superstition. So, you know, they say that if they step over like a child, let's say they've got their feet up on a coffee table. If you step over them, you have to step over them again backwards if you want them to grow.
Backwards? Oh, wow.
Yeah, because if you made a mistake and you step over them, you have to step back over them.
I'm going
to
threaten my future child. You better be good to me. I almost start stepping over you. And you're going to remain a tiny little shit for the rest of your life.
I was mad.
I'm going to wait till my child grows to the perfect height and then start just walking all over them.
Yeah. Well, if it's a guy, you'd never walk over
never.
Him because I want
taller
him to be
better.
Tall. But yeah, the next one I've got here, which is something that mum did to us all the
what
time.
What the fuck did she do?
Tampons take your virginity.
My gosh!
She used to
the
say
lies.
This She used to be like, don't use tampons, it's going to take a virginity. Don't use tampons when we were young. So
oh my God, I spent my whole life stinking of fish with blood running down my thighs because I thought I need to keep that pussy tight. I need to keep the virginity because ain't nobody going to marry me or love me or be with me if I put a tampon inside me.
Yeah, because back
Where
then...
Where did I get this from?
Back then as well, my mum used to be like, you know, you should stay a virgin until you get married.
Mate,
back then.
She said wilder shit than that. She said you can't ride a bike. Do you remember?
Yeah.
She shouldn't ride bikes.
It's crazy though how our parents have changed so much and my mum's changed so much from when she first moved here from Iran to now. She's a completely different person. So when I was reading these superstitions and I was like researching them, I looked over at her because she's living with me right now. I was like, mum, do you remember when you said tampon takes your virginity?
What did she say? What did she say? I need an explanation.
And then she's like, yes, it does. And I was like, mum, it doesn't. She was like, well, it's not just that. It's really unhealthy for you. And then she said that apparently you lost your tampon once in your vagina and she took you to the doctors and the doctor had to find your tampon. Is this true?
Never happened.
I don't know. She's telling me this story right now. This is literally just a few hours ago, guys.
This has never happened.
Maybe she's lying to me, just trying to make herself look better because, like, the reason why she was telling us not
that
to
that never
use tampons,
happened, though. Otherwise, I would remember if that happened. I'd be scarred.
Apparently, the doctor fished the
and I'd have
up.
To be, like, so young to not remember. And I remember I wasn't wearing tampons when I was that young because I wasn't allowed because I thought I'd lose my virginity. So once I did lose my tampon inside me, though.
Yeah.
But I got it out
really
myself.
That's really dangerous.
Yeah. It was, I had, like, two inside or even, like, three. I can't remember. It's fucked.
God, yeah. My cousin.
Now I'm really anal with, like, take one out, put one in. Take one out, like I make sure.
Yeah. One of my cousins, not the one that went to Dubai, because everyone thinks she's the only cousin.
Yeah.
One of our other cousins, she lost a condom inside her vagina and it was there for ages, like I think 2 weeks or something. And she started to get really bad stomach pains and stuff like that. Yeah, crazy.
It's really dangerous.
Yeah, tampons are dangerous. You have to be careful, but it doesn't take away your virginity.
The bike. Do you remember? I used to ride the bike with a bit of space between my vagina and that pointy part because I always thought if there's too much pressure, I might lose my virginity.
Yeah, so I was literally reading about it. And basically, obviously, it doesn't make you lose your virginity, but it's basically, virginity is not a physical thing. That's a
no,
thing.
It actually is,
it's
Anna.
A social thing. No, so because I started doing like a lot
what
of
do you
research.
Mean, virginity is a thing.
It's your hymen wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that hymen wall can gradually get, basically, that doesn't have to break with sex. That might not break with sex.
Yeah, it could break with tampon.
It's like wear and tear. Is like, that's what it is.
Yeah, so bike riding can basically take away your virginity.
Yeah, basically a lot of things can take away your, like, age, weight, physical activities, not just sex, but change or break, like, over time.
Yeah, but most of the time, it's like, what, most of the time, it's going to be a fucking cock in it.
I don't know.
It's going to be a cock.
Basically, it's just saying that tampons don't. Because, yeah, you know.
They're not big enough.
Yeah. Yeah, but even...
What if you're a virgin and you have sex with someone that's like the size of a tampon and then like you're still a virgin? Like, that would be amazing, isn't it? That body would not count.
But that's why I'm trying to say you're not a virgin because a virgin is not like a physical thing. It's what do you call it? It's not a physical entity. It's a social construct.
You know what, yeah? Like, virginity, like, what the hell is it, really? Like, you're right, it's a social construct. But when you're young... And you're a virgin. Like, it really don't mean shit because everybody around that age is a virgin. Yeah. Being a virgin now at 32 would be a stunt.
Would it?
Yeah, because everyone would be like...
You'd look like a weirdo.
Yeah, I'd look like a weirdo, but I could probably sell it for like 5 million.
Yeah, those that save their virginity, then they sell it.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? If it's like a young girl doing that, it's giving creepy. Like, that's just weird. That's illegal. But when it's like a grown woman, I've saved it to this age. There was a woman that sold it for like 2 million.
Yeah, but at your age, Mandy, no. People do that, like, they sell their virginity in like, what, 20s? You're old
I'm
now.
I'm way too old now. No one would even buy it. They'll be like, who wants this old-ass virginity? Like,
but yeah, look, they say that virginity is just a tool that they've used to keep women powerless and shamed for centuries.
And dickless. Dickless for centuries because of this imaginary wall. We've been dick... They've been sticking it everywhere. Yeah? But we, no.
Because of this hymen.
Why was our bodies even created like that? That you have to know. Because if we didn't bleed the first time, then no one would ever know who's a virgin, who's not. So we were created... in a patriarchal way, in a misogynistic way, our bodies. Us is sexism.
Everything's been against us from the beginning.
Basically. Because
yeah,
it's like you're it's determined if you're a virgin or not just by the fact that if you bleed when you have sex. That's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous because so many people don't bleed as well. It's true.
Yeah, imagine those. They never have that moment.
Like I said, a lot of physical things can break your
virginity as well.
But anyway, very complicated.
Basically, you can carry on pretending you're a virgin right now if you really want. But why would you? Because that's just weird. Because you would be a virgin, especially at this age, 32.
Okay. I've got here, if you bite your tongue, someone is bitching about you. I tried to like read up on this, but there was not much. It's just a spiritual superstition that people have that if you bite your tongue,
someone's talking about you. But yeah, I'd be biting my tongue all the time because all the time people talk about it. I'm sure people talk about me and you a lot.
I know. I mean, we're constantly probably being bitched about.
Yeah.
But I don't bite my tongue. So it's obviously...
Me too.
So this is not a true superstition.
But when I do bite my tongue, I'd be looking at everyone around me like...
Automatically.
Who bitched about me.
It's mad that these things are like in your head that...
They're ingrained.
Yeah, it's crazy that you automatically think, oh my God, someone's bitching about me. But yeah, it's ridiculous, really.
If you had the power to like hear, like if God could put on like a little trailer for you of hearing every single person that said anything negative or horrible about you, would you want to watch it?
No way. Why would I want to do that? Would you?
No, but I'd like to watch the one which is like everyone saying good things. If there's a trailer of like
all the good things,
all the good things anyone has ever said about you, I'd want to watch that.
100%. That would be amazing. Oh, she's fit. Oh, yeah. She's so sweet. Oh, that's...
Yeah, I'd love to watch that.
All right, we've got here, this is a Persian superstition.
Ooh.
And I actually confirmed it with mum. Because I was going through these with mum. And I said, mum, is this an actual thing? Because someone sent this in. If you get a new car, which you're going to have soon, right?
Oh,
you need to drive over...
I knew she was going to say this.
You need to drive over 4 eggs or else you'll crash.
Wow. So what is going to determine the safety of my driving and me not crashing is driving over 4 eggs, which just could be eaten.
So I go to mum, is this a thing? And she goes, yeah, not only 4 eggs. Sometimes we put a lamb or a chicken. And
a lamb?
Yeah.
A live one?
She said it so normally, yeah?
Sorry, a live one?
Live one.
A live lamb or chicken. Mm-hmm. A murder. A murder has taken place.
It's not even funny. It's not even funny. I was like, what do you mean, mum? She was like, is it a sacrifice? And she was like, it's the same concept with the eggs because an egg really is a live thing. It's going to grow into a live thing. So
I'm glad they've downgraded from live lambs and chickens to eggs.
I know, but the fact that they see it as like the egg is a live being and then you have to kill it, you have to kill something so that it basically, there's blood. Even though with eggs, like, there's no blood.
Crack the eggs in a pan and eat them and sacrifice it in the kitchen.
It's some crazy shit. And
oh
I was
God,
like...
God, all the lambs and chickens that
in Iran. I know, right?
I can't.
And it's basically the blood is saying that you're not going to crash and there's going to be good energy around your car.
Oh my God.
So are you going to run over 4 eggs, Mandy?
I mean, I'm just going to have to, innit? Someone's going to see me like outside the flat building putting eggs on the floor. Like a fucking weirdo, like a psychopath. I want to place those eggs on the floor and drive over them.
That's so crazy.
And they're going to be like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, better this than a chicken or a lamb.
Then when I asked her, she went on to tell me some more. She
oh
started
God,
going on. She was
no.
like, oh yeah. She was like, also in Iran, when brides get married, the man's family have to kill a sheep. Yeah. And then the bride has to step over the sheep and it basically is a sacrifice to... And they give the meat to poor people, basically, in wherever they are. They give the meat to poor people and it brings your marriage good karma.
Oh, okay. Well, that shit's going to have to happen, mate. Gingerbread's family better go grab that sheep.
But the thing is, like, they don't
I'm
just,
a fly of
they
that
don't
sheep.
Waste the meat of the sheep. They give it to poor people. And then basically, it's like good karma for your wedding. But I just feel like that would be bad karma.
And I want to do a prank, man. I think you should both do it. We should both do it. Like, actually record it and be like, Gingerbread, listen, like, something very serious. If we do get married, your family needs to go and kill a sheep. And like fully, fully serious. I just want to hear the response.
The reaction. Do you want to do it now?
The reaction.
Do you want to do it now?
Shall I?
Go on then.
Guys, so basically, you know if me and you get married, yeah? there's like this very important belief, like in Persian culture, in Iranian culture, that you need to do. And I need to tell you from now, just like in case that like you're not up for doing it, then we obviously can't move forward being together.
To give you gold, go fuck yourself.
No, it's not the gold part.
What?
So if me and you get married, you and your family need to go and kill a sheep, like slaughter a sheep.
Mandy. Forget what you lot do, fan doing that. You're joining my culture.
No, I need you and your family to go slaughter a sheep, and then I need to jump over it.
You got fucked up, yeah?
Are you willing to cut the sheep's throat? Maybe...
but you wouldn't let me do it because you love animals.
It's part of my tradition. Like, you need to speak to your dad and your mum now and ask them if they're okay with, like, slaughtering a sheep.
No, they wouldn't be.
Even for our happiness and our love and our...
No. Mate, you want to join my bit, bro? You're in the paddling pool with your bikini out, bro.
He's all
what, for christening? Christening?
Yeah.
All right. That was funny.
You'd actually have to be in a rubber ring and, you know, dunk the baby.
Yeah. I'm all off being dunked in a bikini. All right, I've got to go. Bye.
Wait.
Well, he's actually like, go fuck yourself.
Also, I've got more to tell you.
Tell me.
What more? The first time we went to Iran, you were 7 and I was 9. When we arrived at our grandma's house, she killed a lamb in front of us when we came to her house, apparently.
This is barbaric.
I know, it's crazy.
Shit going on. People this is making us look really bad.
I know, people listening to this are going to think, what the hell?
I don't remember this. I want to remember this. Right, this is PTSD shit. I want to remember this.
You're really interested to see what was going on. You were 7 years old.
Oh my God, am I a psychopath?
And then my
I'm a Jeffrey Dahmer.
And mum was basically trying to cover our eyes so we didn't see it. And she was just saying, oh, don't worry, they're just giving it water. They're just giving it water. And apparently...
I feel like I'm getting memories coming back of like something like that.
Anyway, it's so sad because like that makes me sad that sheep was killed because of us. Even though we eat sheep, but...
What did they do with the sheep though?
They gave the meat to the poor people.
Who skins the sheep and like cuts it up? Like, this sounds like a job for like cavemen.
I don't know, man. But when she told me that, I couldn't believe it. I was like, Mom,
what? Something bad was going to happen to us when we come to Iran or
it's
something?
It's just for good energy. Like, you're sacrificing the sheep, giving it to poor people, and it's like good karma to your.
In fact, it's bad karma. That's murdering
what I
a sheep.
That's what I think.
But then again, like, aren't we eating sheep every day? Like, and like, it's being killed for us to eat. Isn't it the same thing? It's being killed for food.
I don't know, but I wouldn't want to watch a sheep get killed.
No, but apparently I did because I was a small psychopath. Like, apparently I was really interested. I am really interested, though.
She was like, Mandy kept trying to watch and trying to see what was going on. Like, wow.
Oh my God, that's a bad sign about my psychology.
No, anyway, but...
Do you think?
No,
that's going to play on my mind now, yeah?
No, it's not. Anyway, mum was just basically like, apparently they don't really do these things much anymore. It was kind of older generation.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, in Iran, they kind of realised that these are all superstitions and they don't really do it much.
Yeah, probably because they probably killed all these poor things and bad shit still happened.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you know, I've heard some wild superstitions. This ain't even long ago, yeah? Like, my auntie from Iran came here.
Mm.
And we were basically talking about how if I get married to Gingerbeard and I want to have a baby, I want to have a boy.
Yeah.
So I kept saying, I want
to... Oh, yeah.
I was like, I want to have a boy. Like, how do I really want a boy. Like, I want to make sure it's a boy, yeah? Bro, she calls her madness, yeah?
What did she say?
She was like, if you wrap an onion on your back with cling film, and it was an onion. It was an onion, no?
I don't remember what she said.
Like, you put the onion on your back and you wrap it around your back, yeah, with cling film for like 3-4 months.
What, wrap an onion around your back?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, wrap it, cling film.
Cling film an onion to your back, bro.
You'll be walking around.
With a whole ass onion.
So
yeah.
Like a lump on your back.
A lump.
You'll be stinking out everywhere. Yes, wouldn't that onion rot?
She goes, it 1,000,000%. 100%. She goes, it works. Every single person that we know has done it has ended up having a boy. Bro, you better watch me. If you see a lump on the back of my back, it's going to be an onion.
So people actually have done that for 3 months. They've done it. Because she's like,
yes.
It 100% works. Her statistics have actually...
It happens that you start doing it from the moment you find out you're pregnant or just before while you're trying. I can't remember the exact dates. And I don't even know if it's an onion. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is an onion. But if you guys know any different, please correct me, yeah? But you wrap it around your back and you just live like that.
So she's actually got statistics that are based on actual people that have done this.
And they've done it for... There's a different one for a woman, for a girl. And every time they've done it, it's happened.
Wow.
So
that's
me and that onion. We're going to be conjoined twins.
Because you want a boy.
I mean, I did want a boy, like, at first, because I did want my daughter to have an older brother, because I've never had one, I've always wanted one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, not really actually had an older brother. And also, like, I know that Gingerbeard would love to have a boy.
Mm.
I don't know, but then as, like, time's gone on, I kind of do want a girl, because, like, I want both.
Yeah.
I want a boy first, though. I don't want a little brother. I want a big brother.
I used to always want a boy, and then now as time has gone on, I'm like, I don't want
like
one.
Like, men are so trash. Like, we just don't
want... we don't need any more men.
We don't need any more men. But it's not true. If you raise...
The right man.
The right man...
Isn't it in them? In their...
Yeah. And I swear to God, if you notice, a lot of Iranian boys are really good.
Yeah.
Like, because Iranian women are so strong, mm-hmm. and, like, in the household, they do a lot of...
It's so funny that you're saying this, because literally, as I was getting ready for the podcast, as I was getting ready today, I was putting my makeup on, I can hear Cowslick, my mum and dad's in the living room with him, and they're having a conversation, and my dad's talking about how strong Iranian women are, and he's like, you know, he was like, I never got on with my mother-in-law. I never got on with her because she wanted me to be like obey her and stuff like that. And Iranian women are like that. And my mum was like, yeah, my dad used to basically do everything for my mum. And Kausik was like, why? Why are Iranian men like this? And dad was like, they're not. It's just Iranian women are so strong that's how it...
We're very overpowering.
And then he started going on about there's stories in Iran where the woman chopped the man's penis.
Yeah, they and then are. Don't try that at
I'm
home.
In the bedroom just thinking, I wish I could see Kazlik's face.
Oh, God. I wish they were having these conversations with Gingerbeard. I would pay for them to happen.
Honestly, I swear, there's a camera in the house with
me. We need to start a reality TV show, I swear to God.
Honestly, his face must have been like, so scared.
But because Iranian women are so strong, they take so much control of the upbringing of their children and the influence, you know, they're so dominant. Their opinion is so dominant. So I think we would raise
good boys,
the most amazing boys.
You think?
Yeah. And how is the culture going to change unless women like us are doing that?
True. Very, very, very true.
Do you know what I mean? Fuck boys going to be extinct. I want to have so many sons. All them onions I want to be buying.
But don't they say girls like bad boys? So then if you raise good sons, they're just going to get...
stupid girls like bad boys.
Exactly.
Like us, to be honest.
No.
In the past. Me in the past.
Yeah.
Me definitely in the past. Anyway, come on.
Right. Well, there's a lot of superstition. I don't know if you know this. I didn't know this. About laundry.
No. Did tell you know me about this? This. Can I stop doing laundry? Oh my God.
Laundry is so complicated. What? Yeah. Like, I can't even tell you every single one because there's so much.
Please tell me but if I do or not doing laundry.
Different nationalities, I'd say. Or is it nationalities? Different origins have different superstitions.
Talk to me.
So basically, I know that Hindus, they don't believe you should do your laundry on a Thursday. It's really bad luck because it will hinder the blessings of Lord Vishnu, who's regarded as the universe's protector and keeper. So that's Hinduism. So basically, you know how they say on New Year's Eve, like I do this. I don't know if you do this. You should like basically things should be new, like your house should be clean.
Oh, yeah.
Do your laundry.
Iranians
like everything.
Believe that a lot.
Iranians
as well.
Believe that. But so I'm pretty sure it's a Western thing as well, no?
Yeah.
But it's bad luck if you do it on New Year's Day. New Year's Day, you shouldn't do any cleaning. You shouldn't do your laundry. Because if you wash your clothes on New Year's Day, you're washing away a loved one. So a family member's going to die.
Over some aerial pots.
Yeah.
Family members are going to die just because of some aerial pots, some Lenore and some fresh burst and some clothes going in the fucking washing machine. Mm-hmm. Somebody might die.
You're washing a loved one away in the process.
If Gingerbread asked me to do any laundry on New Year's Day, I'm going to be like, do you want to die? Are you willing to die for the laundry?
Bosnians don't do laundry on Tuesdays and Fridays.
No, tell me more.
There's loads, but Catholics, obviously, they don't think... You know how Sunday should be a day of rest? That's an actual thing. Yeah. Sunday should be a day of rest. You shouldn't really
I believe that. I don't want to use my brain on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And are you like that?
I mean, I love resting on a Sunday, yeah. But that's
even
kind of like...
I like rest like every day. Like Sunday, I have to.
Mm-hmm. Good Friday, which was just yesterday. Apparently, you shouldn't do any laundry on Good Friday. It's like the worst thing
I didn't
ever.
Do anything yesterday.
Cleaning, including washing your clothes, is frowned upon on Good Friday.
That's good.
I
didn't do it.
Catholic tradition. Yeah.
Okay, now tell me, is there anything that I can use to not do laundry?
Basically, you can just say, to Gingerbread, I can't do washing on a Thursday because it's bad luck for Hindus. Can't do it on a Friday because it's bad luck for Bosnians.
Yeah.
Can't do it on a Saturday because technically that's the seventh day of the week for some people.
Right.
Because you shouldn't do anything on a seventh day. Can't do it on a Sunday because it's the seventh day, it's a day of rest.
Monday, I can't be doing laundry anymore. It's just bad luck for me to do laundry. That's it.
Excuse it.
No more washing in my house.
Yeah, anyway, like, honestly, I can't even go into it because it's so long and complicated. But laundry has got a lot of
superstition. I hate doing laundry, yeah.
Who would have thought laundry's got superstition?
I think, like, women just came up with this. Doesn't have to do it.
Should we create a new superstition? You know, superstitions all started from, like, one person that just created it.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
I want to just create one. Like, anything that benefits me, I want
to
create it.
And then just, like, you could just be like, you know what? If I do laundry on Monday to Friday...
Yeah.
Something always bad happens.
Yeah.
So like, I really don't.
And you know, men, they're so dumb. Like, they literally believe anything.
Yeah. Like,
if you said, you know what, I've suddenly found out that 5 days of the week you shouldn't do laundry. You should only do it one day of the week because otherwise bad luck comes into your house.
Mm.
You'll be like, don't do the laundry. I know. Don't do
it.
Yeah.
And look, when I was going through this, Kowzik was on the sofa, and I was like, oh, these superstitions, and he started getting into it. He was like, yeah. Did you know that Ronaldo? Cristiano Ronaldo is always the last person walking onto the pitch every single time because it's a superstition. And he always puts his right foot on the pitch first.
Wow.
And like, he started going on and like, Steve Jobs giving me superstitions about him.
He's got a lot of time, man. How does Kowzik find out all these fucking facts? Like, seriously.
Apparently, Steve Jobs walks around barefoot on company grounds because he says it's bad luck if he walks with feet, with his shoes.
Now, that's just unhygienic.
And he wore
Apple and he's walking around barefoot in his office. Like,
yeah, apparently he wears the same roll neck and trousers in at work. Maybe he sees it like it's good luck, you know?
Maybe.
I'm one of those weird people. Yeah, if I'm wearing something.
If something good happens,
that's it.
Yeah, me too. I'm stuck with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared if I stop, then suddenly, like, bad things will start happening.
I know, right?
Sorry. All right, well, any more superstitions?
I've got loads.
After this, I'm going to be paranoid as hell.
Okay, well, they've got loads. So I'll do a few more and then we're going to do part two on Patreon. So if you guys are having fun listening to these superstitions, we've got loads more on Patreon. So have you wanted to know about the black cats?
Yeah.
How black cats are so evil, apparently.
I love black cats. I want a black cat.
I know.
So pretty. We had one, but it was like... Well, what happened to it?
It was really ill.
It was really ill, yeah.
And it
was really sad. We bought it from some dodgy place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've always wanted a black cat.
So this is a European superstition. Because I feel like a lot of like superstitions are from the Middle East.
Yeah. But actually, Europeans have a lot of their own.
Yeah, they do actually. So this is a European one. And it all started from a Catholic church, a pope, Pope Gregory.
Yeah.
He proclaimed black cats as evil. And basically, it led to loads of people like burning... black cats and cats in general, burning them alive.
So do you know where this... I actually think I know where this comes from. I don't know if I'm wrong. I might be wrong. But during like the plague, there were certain women who had cats as pets. Okay. And they also were quite clean women, quite OCD women. So everyone was getting diseases. Everyone was getting the plague. Everyone was dying. But these women who had brooms, that's how brooms are associated with witches as well. They were always brooming their house and they had a cat. Cats obviously kill and eat rats and mice.
Yeah.
And the plague originated from rats and mice.
So the thing is, I know what you're saying, but black cats were considered evil before that.
Oh, were they?
Because that's how the plague came about. Because they killed so many cats because they said it was evil. They were evil. There wasn't enough cats to kill the mice. And that's how the plague came about.
Oh, wow.
And then I think it probably even just made it even worse that like the witches, which were just really clean women, weren't they?
Yeah, who had cats.
Had cats to get rid of to make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
They had cats. It's just probably just instilled the whole field being like the superstition that cats are evil.
Even more.
Yeah. But it's crazy. It's
such discrimination
against
cats. To our furry friends.
I know.
Poor things.
Oh, I love cats so much, especially since having a cat, I've become such a cat person as well.
I know, I love
I never
lucky.
Used to see cats like that.
I feel like I'm a cat person now.
Before, I never understood cat people. I thought they were weird. Because I was like, why? The cats don't even give you love. Like, they're so selfish. But now,
but
since
maybe
having
because
Lucky,
you got lucky, Anna, because Lucky's so friendly and so sweet. Well, not everyone's cats are like that. You should be very grateful you have Lucky.
Lucky
so
to have Lucky.
Sweet. Lucky to have Lucky.
He's such a friendly little one, isn't he?
Yeah. Even when I come, when Auntie Mandy comes around, he gives me so much love. Do we have any more superstitions?
One more, and then the rest would leave for Patreon. So this one, I thought I'd share this because in case any of you guys really want a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're feeling like I need to be in a relationship, because a lot of people want to be in a relationship.
Don't. Okay.
So on New Year's Eve, you eat 12 grapes under the table.
Under the table.
And actually, this is a thing that's become a So it started, this is Spanish superstition, but it became viral because a lot of people were doing it. And then that year, they actually found their other half.
No.
And then they made TikToks about it saying people were laughing at us for having 12 grapes under the table. And now look, 12 grapes
what
under
is
the table.
This juju shit?
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
But do you know what it is? Like, maybe after doing that, they're like psychologically open to it and they're open to that, receiving that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So when a man approaches them, they're like giving everyone chances because they believe they're going to find the one now because mm-hmm. they down them grapes.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's true because I feel like when I was on my way here, I was thinking a lot about superstitions. Like, do I believe in it? Do I not? And I think superstitions have got a lot to do with like...
If you believe in them, they're true.
Manifestation.
Yeah.
Like, and when you manifest something or you think something... And your energy goes towards that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Once you, when you believe something, it's more likely to happen for you and be true for you. That's why when people ask me, do you believe in ghosts? I always say no. Because I'm worried that if I say yeah, they're going to start rolling around.
Yeah. Or don't you always say to me, Mandy, like with your relationship, always try and think positive and don't think that they cheat or don't think that they're like,
yeah.
Because the more you think positive, the more positive energy is going to be around your relationship.
Yeah, the more you believe something like bad is going to happen, I feel like the more likely it is going to happen.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, okay. Guys, if on you want more, note. Then come on to part two.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I've got some more funny ones. But I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun.
It was very fun.
I enjoyed even just reading up on all the stuff as well.
So. I know, it's very interesting where they will come from. If you want more knowledge, then subscribe to our Patreon.
We love you and we will see you next episode. Bye!